I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hey, to Target Demo Friday, so this time of the week, we always want to know what you guys are up to. We are curious as you listen to the show or prepare for the weekend. Let us know what your plans are, how you're listening, where you're listening, and we'll rip them off and read them off later on in the hour. Get at me on Twitter, DA on CBS, and let me know, DA on CBS, or on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheDA Show. College football. So many headlines. So many stories going into championship weekend. Joining us is ESPN college football analyst, our friend Roddy Jones. Roddy, good morning. How you doing?
DA, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, let's start with the Tennessee coaching search, because this thing just keeps getting more peculiar, more bizarre by the day. When you look at Tennessee, do you think that it's no longer an interesting job because, or an attractive job because of all the dysfunction around it?
I don't really know how to get my arms around what's going on at Tennessee. I mean, this is probably historically the second most successful program in the SEC. And not only have they been turned down by numerous coaches now, if you believe the reports, most recently, they go after Dave Dorn at NC State, and he turns the job down. And the fact that, let's just consider the fact that they're going after Dave Dorn at NC State. I mean, Dave Dorn has done a decent job at NC State, but he had arguably the second best team in the ACC this year and managed to lose four games. So he didn't exactly set the world on fire. But, you know, the fact that now they're looking for an AD, they're looking for a head coach. If I'm a coach, I don't know if I take that job because I don't know what I'm walking into. And I don't think the people at Tennessee can feel confident enough in telling me what I'm going to walk into to convince me to get there. You know, it's always going to have that allure because of the fact that they're close to so many fertile recruiting areas because of the history. But that job may be a coaching cycle away from being a really attractive one because it is an absolute dumpster fire right now.
So, you know, we have reports today that Philip Fulmer, the old head coach there, could have been sabotaging the current head coaching search because he wants to be the new AD. And the former AD, John Curry, was fired earlier this morning. Is there backstabbing and politics like that that go on in a lot of athletic departments, or is that rare?
I would say that the backstabbing part of it, that's more rare. But the politicking, man, that's throughout. I mean, everyone's kind of jockeying for that position. And he has meant so much to that school that, I mean, he probably feels like he deserves a shot to run it. I mean, the last time Tennessee was relevant on a national stage, Philip Fulmer was in charge of a football program. So in his mind, he may feel like, hey, I'm the only guy that can turn this thing around. Now, I don't think that Philip Fulmer necessarily has to go to those lengths to get that look. You know, and he's got enough respect and he's involved with the program that I think that, you know, he's got enough connections where he doesn't have to sabotage the current guy to do it. But if you're looking for an opportunity to get in, I mean, it's a pretty good one when the coaching hires start to go bad and the school starts to look at it, look like an embarrassment. they're looking for a white knight, and Phil Fulmer may ride in and save the day. So, you know, I would say the backstabbing is probably rare, but the politicking, I mean, that's everywhere.
College football analyst Roddy Jones joins us here on the show, former star college football player himself. Let's look at the ACC championship game. This is the conference you're most connected with. And what would it take for Miami to pull the upset over Clemson on Saturday?
That turnover chain is going to have to make quite a few appearances, because if you watch the Miami-Pitt game at all, I think the thing that was most striking was how bad Malik Rozier was. I mean, it was almost like he had to try to be that bad. I mean, certainly he wasn't trying to miss the open receivers that he missed and to make some of the mistakes, but I mean, it was an uncharacteristically poor performance from him. And this is a guy who hadn't lit the world on fire through like the first three quarters of most games, but somehow in the fourth quarter always turned it on enough for them to win the game. Now, Clemson is not the Clemson that we've seen in the past with Deshaun Watson. They're not going to get into these high-scoring affairs where they're going to put up 50 points on a really good defense like they did with Deshaun. They just don't have the guys on the outside. They don't have a Mike Williams, a Jordan Leggett, certainly capable receivers with Deion Kane, Hunter Renfrow. But Kelly Bryant's not the same passer. It's going to be more power run game. It's going to be more downhill, more ball control. So Miami's going to have to get the ball out a couple of times, because as good as that Miami front seven is, Clemson's got four guys on the front on their defensive line that all have a potential to be first round picks. And I can say pretty confidently that all of them will be first or second round picks. I mean, these guys are absolute monsters. The 11 sacks you saw against Auburn earlier this year, they just turn over. I mean, they control games. So I think Miami's going to have a hard time running the football. I think Miami's going to have a hard time blocking these guys in the pass game. So that turnover chain is going to have to come out a couple of times. And then Miami's going to have to play really well on offense in terms of not turning the ball over, being efficient in the red zone. Because if they don't, if they're settling for field goals, eventually Clemson just wears you down.
Roddy Jones, college football analyst, our guest here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. On the SEC side of things, look, you've got no love lost for the Georgia Bulldogs, having been a Yellow Jacket yourself. However, you know, this line is interesting because even though they got blown out at Auburn a couple of weeks ago, this is only about a point and a half, Vegas says, Auburn favored. Maybe that has to do with Kerryon Johnson's injury, but can it be that different? I mean, can Georgia go from getting blown out by 30 points 3 weeks ago to actually knocking off Auburn tomorrow?
I think it's closer. I think Auburn's a better football team, even without Kerryon Johnson. Auburn dominated that game earlier this year, and I don't think Georgia could play that poorly again. And it was a hostile environment. And I think people look at the fact that Georgia just dominated Georgia Tech and they feel like they've got the momentum. Let's not forget, Auburn just beat handily the team that for most of this year, everyone thought was the best team in the country in Alabama.
Right.
I'm not sure there's a team in the country that's playing better than Auburn. So as good as Georgia looked against Georgia Tech, I mean, I love my Jackets, but let's consider the opponent here. This is a Georgia Tech team that got blown out by Duke. So This was not a signature win for Georgia. I'm not sure they're a much different team. Now, certainly if the momentum starts to go their way, they can kind of get on a rhythm, but get on a roll. But if you're asking me, you know, to look down the two rosters and who I think's better, Auburn's still a better team, and Jared Stidham is playing really well. I think we're really seeing why people were excited about him coming into this year. Auburn's playing the best ball of anybody in the country, so I think Auburn wins, and I think this line is way too close, to be completely honest with you.
I agree. So let's look at maybe the possible puzzle pieces here of the college football playoff. We assume the ACC title game, the SEC title game are playing games. Winner's going to get in. And then the other two are interesting. Ohio State, perhaps if they win, they're in. Maybe if TCU knocks off Oklahoma, that opens up a slot, obviously. If it came down to Alabama or Ohio State in the Final Four, who do you think is more deserving?
I personally feel like if you don't win your division and you don't play in your conference championship, then you should not have a chance to win a national championship. It goes back to the old tongue-in-cheek Steve Spurrier quote after Alabama won the championship. I believe it was in 2009 when they beat LSU after not winning their division. when he said it's harder to win the SEC than it is the national championship. And I just feel like there should be some form of merit. Now, that being said, I think the committee puts Alabama in over Ohio State, because it's going to come down to the fact that I don't think the committee will forgive Ohio State for giving up 55 points to Iowa. I think if you put Alabama in that situation, even under the worst of circumstances, they don't give up 55 points at Iowa. There's just no way that happens, in my opinion. So I think for that reason, and if you look at all the advanced metrics, the strength of schedule, strength of record, Alabama is going to rank higher than Ohio State in most of those. Maybe not in strength of record, but I really feel like Ohio State's going to have to lobby in order to get – they have to win convincingly against Wisconsin. But even then, I'm not sure it helps them that much, because people will just discount Wisconsin then. People – I feel like they're kind of waiting for that opportunity. So it's going to be tough for Ohio State to jump Bama if they were to win.
It looks like Jimbo Fisher, significant momentum towards taking the A&M job. We'll see if it ends up happening. Do you view the A&M job as better than Florida State and what he has there?
No, I don't think it's a better job. But if the relationship is soured, and with the amount of money that they are reportedly throwing at Jimbo Fisher, I mean, I've seen reports of $80 million guaranteed. That's like life-changing money. These coaches are rich and they make a lot of money, but none of them are making $80 million over any period of time. So I'm not sure how you turn that down, to be honest with you. And I think the thing that gives this the most credence and the most momentum is the fact that you're now seeing Florida State recruits start to decommit and open up their commitment. And when that starts to happen, coaches usually jump on it. They say, hey, look, no, I am staying. Let's keep these guys. I'm not going anywhere. But as these recruits start to look elsewhere, Jimbo Fisher's been very silent. And I, you know, if I was Florida State, and I think they were trying to do it, I think they were trying to push him for a decision before this game this weekend. He obviously doesn't want to do that. He wants to finish out the season with his team. But once recruits start to look elsewhere, especially with Dan Mullen coming in right down the road at the University of Florida, a fantastic recruiter who now has access to all of those recruits and the cachet that comes with being the Florida head coach. It would be really worrisome to me if I were a Florida State fan. I don't think Texas A&M is a better job, but they are really doubling down. And that amount of money, I'm not sure how you walk away from it. I don't make millions of dollars, but if I did and somebody threw $80 million more at me, I'd be tempted to look at it too. And I'm not sure how I turn it down.
Yeah. We're all in that boat, I think. Roddy Jones joining us, college football analyst, star at Georgia Tech in his playing days, and we always love having him on talking college football here on the show. Roddy, it's been a wonderful year, man. I truly appreciate all the times that you have joined us, and hopefully we can do it again, man, as the months move forward, buddy. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you having me on, D.A. Have a happy holidays. We don't talk before then.
You too, man. Roddy Jones joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, at RoddyJones20. Great stuff. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Target demo Friday, boys and girls. So let me know what you're doing as you get ready for the weekend, how you're listening, where you're at right now. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. When we come back, a little retro NFL feel, looking at last night's win by the Dallas Cowboys. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
20 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, we've got Sunday morning football coming your way. Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern time, we will have Sunday morning football throughout all of the postseason games, college football, the bowl games, the college football playoffs, then, of course, the NFL season and postseason. Sunday morning football throughout the football playoffs, right starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time every Sunday right here on CBS Sports Radio. And if you are locked into Sunday morning football, you know we have a vintage retro vibe like this theme song for the old school NFL on CBS. And behind me, the set becomes retro too, because I have all of my favorite old school NFL pennants. Now, if you watch, I have been meticulously curating these pennants via eBay all season long, okay? That's how committed I am to this show. Watch at watchda.com. We've got two new ones coming up this weekend. I got myself an old school Baltimore Colts pennant and an old school Los Angeles Rams the first time they were around. So check it out. We've got the St. Louis Cardinals in there, the old Oakland Raiders in there. Of course, they're Oakland again. The set is vintage, the sounds are vintage, but the information is new. Sunday Morning Football, check it out. Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio and watch at watchda.com. Speaking of the tradition of the NFL, you guys know an easy way to get me upset is to talk about Color Rush and modernized ugly uniforms.
You are a machine of death.
The NFL would be so much better if they all just went to their jerseys of 1967. And I realize there are franchises that are newer than that. But the best thing the NFL could do is go back to all of their old jerseys. Because all of these newfangled ones, like the Browns, like the Buccaneers, are gross. Absolutely gross. And they just keep making it grosser with Color Rush. Hey, props to Washington and specifically Bruce Allen. Because this is a man that, while I don't agree with a lot of his roster building, and I think he's clearly a puppet for Dan Snyder, it's an old boys club there with Washington. He fought the man on Color Rush. You remember what Washington was wearing last year on Color Rush? Yellow jerseys and yellow pants. They had never worn them?
They've avoided Color Rush both the first years of Color Rush because last year they played on Thanksgiving, was not demanded Color Rush.
That's right.
Year before was only NFL Network Thursday night games that had to do Color Rush. So this was going to be the first year they were going to have to wear them.
So they had released the artist's rendering, which they always do, of the teams before the season, and they were looking to wear Nike because Nike is so subversive in all of this. Nike wanted them to wear yellow jerseys, yellow pants, and it looked awful. And Bruce Allen, just like John Mara of the Giants, fought against this last year because they wanted the Giants to wear all red, red jerseys, red pants. The Mara said, no way, we're not doing it. We're fighting this. And they ended up with all white and the 86 Giants uniforms, which looked clean and awesome last year. And this year, Washington fought the man, fought the tyranny of this, and last night wore burgundy and burgundy, which looked fine. It wasn't great. I like their normal uniforms better. I even like their 1991 and Joe Gibbs era uniforms better with burgundy tops and white pants. But burgundy, 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 way better than yellow on yellow. So finally, people in the NFL are standing up to the ridiculousness, the pukiness of Color Rush. Last night, Dak Prescott had a good night. Wasn't great statistically, but made a couple of important throws. The touchdown to Jason Witten, the touchdown to Dez Bryant. Last night, mostly, though, is about Dallas simply taking advantage of a lot of Washington mistakes. And so the Cowboys get to keep their flickering hopes alive. I think they will be quickly dashed, because you'd basically have to go 10-6 and run the table if you are Dallas to make it into the NFC playoffs. I don't think they're running the table the final month of the season without Ezekiel Elliott. But for one night, they took advantage of Washington's mistakes, got it done. For Washington, I mean, this is just so Washington. Both Jay Gruden and Kirk Cousins are perfectly mediocre. I understand injuries, bad offensive line. Not great skill position guys last night. A lot of mistakes for Washington. But Kirk Cousins is sub-500 in his NFL career as a starter. 20-24-1. Cousins doesn't make a group of lesser talented guys better. Cousins has had a couple of nice plays, nice drives, nice games this year. But coming up in the offseason, there's going to be a question to be had about how great Kirk Cousins is and what he's worth.
it's really not a fair conversation because quarterbacks are worth way more than they should be because of the position and the money that other guys of that position earn. But if you're looking for Kirk Cousins to take a bad team and make them better, he's not going to do that. Can he be serviceable? Yeah, he's better than Brock Osweiler. If you're talking about free agent quarterbacks that are going to get paid or did get paid. But is he going to take a bad team and make them good? No. Is he going to take a good team and make them great? No. He's serviceable. He's not terrible. He's serviceable. Would I give him $100 million? No. But somebody's going to, because that's the desperation of getting quarterbacks in the NFL. It's time for Ward's Winners.
While Mraz is picking the lettuce off his sandwich, Ward is picking winners. It's Ward's Winners. Only on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
James Ward, the most interesting question this weekend. If there is one slot open to the college football playoff and Ohio State has beaten Wisconsin, do you put in Ohio State or Alabama?
I will put in Ohio State because
really?
I think I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think the committee will value the Big Ten championship game win. Alabama didn't play in the SEC championship. I know most people who really pay attention to the sport think Alabama is still probably the best team in the country, but I don't think they'll put an Ohio State team that beats an undefeated Wisconsin team and wins the Big Ten championship. I don't think they'll be left out of the college football playoff.
I go the other way. I think that they're going to really hold that 55 points given up to Iowa against them and the way that they lost against Iowa, and I think that they just can't look past it. I don't think they want to put in two teams for the same conference, but Alabama, a road loss against maybe the best team of the country last week, smells better to the committee even without a conference championship like Ohio State. But we'll see. That's going to be the big challenge this weekend to figure out what the committee is going to decide to do. You've got some picks on these games, TCU and Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and you like the Sooners as touchdown favorites.
I do, and this was actually a rough weekend for me with picks because I usually like taking the degenerate games, and I'm sort of forced into taking these three marquee matchups.
Hey, there's Conference USA Championship.
I know, I almost went with Troy. I almost went with FIU. I figured let's do the big games. That's more interesting.
Okay.
I do like the Sooners. I think the Sooners have the best offense in the country. That's no secret. Big game, you have the best quarterback in the game. And TCU has Kenny Hill, who's been better, but I still don't trust him in a big spot. You look at how this game played out a few weeks ago. Oklahoma won 38-20, and they didn't score in the second half. Pedal was completely off the gas, figuring they might see TCU later on in the season. I think Oklahoma has no issues with this game. TCU's defense is good, but if it's in a shootout, they have no chance to keep up with the Sooners.
SEC title game. I'm surprised the odds are this small. It looks like Auburn's maybe a 1.5 to 2 point favorite of this. You've got Georgia actually plus 2.5 in this, so a little bit more breathing room. But do you feel like Georgia can win this thing?
Georgia's going to win this thing.
Georgia's going to win.
If you look at the line and what it's telling you,
that is bold.
Vegas is begging you to take Auburn minus 2.5. Last time they played, it was no contest. Vegas sees this, and it's a complete sucker's bet if you take Auburn minus 2.5. Georgia's going to win this game, and I don't know if they're going to win it easily, but they will win the game. Auburn, the home game, was a massive, massive advantage for the Auburn Tigers. I think this game's going to be close. You look at the injuries for Auburn. Their number one running back, Kerryon Johnson, has got a shoulder injury. He's got to go against the Georgia defense that's going to hit him on every play. The second and third string running back, second guy's out. He's been out for the last few weeks. And Cam Martin, the third string running back, actually rolled his ankle last week. So some issues for Auburn running backs. I think Georgia wins this game easily.
Easily.
I don't know about easily. I think they win by a touchdown.
Wow.
But the line is begging you to take Auburn, which is okay. Why you got to take Georgia.
Okay. Miami and Clemson, ACC title game. Clemson's the heavy favorite, nearly double digits. And you think this is a Tigers runaway?
I do. I loved Pitt last week against Miami. I've kind of been fading Miami, and it's been so far. But I don't know how Miami scores against Clemson. I just don't know how it happens. Malik Rozier got pulled last week against Pitt. He couldn't move the ball on the Pitt defense. Pitt's not even going to a bowl game. I think Miami has a huge problem on offense against Clemson. I think it's probably 28-10, 28-7, something like that.
So James Ward has been solid. He was 2-2 last week, but 23-19 over the course of the season. Overall, in his years doing this, he's 81-66.
That's making money.
That's making a lot of money, which Mraz is 5 games under .500 this season.
He's 5 games under every year, yeah, actually.
I know.
A lot harder to pick the NFL, James. They play for pay.
You have no chance to beat me. And we've done this 3 years in a row. You've lost to me every year.
Yeah, you have.
Okay, great. You're the best at everything, James.
You've got thumped.
He's getting thumped as a producer by me, so it's okay.
Just keep patting yourself on the back.
You need a big week, Ward, to shove it in Mraz's face, because Mraz now being a host.
He's actually a superior to me, right?
Yeah.
Is that like one of the funniest things you've ever heard?
I'm talent, baby.
It's a scary day, Bogish, when Mraz considers himself quote-unquote talent.
Well, and he already did long before last Wednesday and Thursday, or Thursday and Friday, whatever it is.
That's how we got this.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
How quickly did you change your email signature?
I haven't, but if I was a good host, I would have thrown a break by now.
Oh, boy. Of course. Yeah, wow. Here we go. The fundamentals of a good host on the other side of the glass.
I mean, it's one thing to go after Ward, but to bite the teeth that got you here. Mm-hmm. I mean, goodness.
My teeth is sore right now. It's got teeth marks on it. Check out Ward's winners, the breakdown of the college football weekend, by going to daoncbs.com. There's some other NFL column as well. Ward's winners at daoncbs.com. Target Demo Friday is next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that? I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. Remember that you can always catch this show if you missed anything or want to hear it again by checking us out on iTunes. Full episodes available there. Simply search DA and CBS. Also on WatchDA.com, full episodes available at WatchDA.com, because the most recent episode just rotates there, plays on loop all day long until we're back on the air. So it's a good chance to catch us there. It's been a tough morning for Chris Venezia on the WatchDA simulcast. If you see graphics stuck, or maybe video not playing, or the camera work off, give him a break. Because today, Venezia has come in and has had a laborious morning. Apparently slept on his sister's couch last night. Didn't get much of a dinner. Didn't get much of a shower. Came in looking disheveled. And then, at the very least, had an egg sandwich ready to go. Now, he had crushed a donut during our pre-production meeting, and he looked like he was a beaten man already. But he smashed a donut, didn't have a pen in the meeting, Mraz. That was our first tip-off.
I had to hand him a pen. He had a donut, but not a pen.
So then he has a nice, big, thick egg sandwich. Here in New York City, we live on egg sandwiches. Big, fat bulk roll, fried egg on it. Maybe a little cheese, bacon or sausage, your meat of choice on top. It fuels us all the time. So he brings one in, and he's got it. I guess it was unwrapped next to him.
Well, you got to realize, we received an email early this morning that we are no longer to eat on top of equipment because there are some slobs at work around here that are getting either food or drink stuck in some very expensive equipment.
Electronically ignorant.
Signed, Keyboard Chicken Guy.
That's why I pick my chicken out. I don't leave it in there to jam a keyboard.
He's considerate.
So he, to start our simulcast, didn't want to eat over all the equipment, the beautiful equipment we have to run the Watch DA. So he put the bag directly behind him and was going to get to it in the first break of the show.
And one of our bosses comes by, looks in the bag, opens up the bag, thinks that it's communal food, and instead of just taking the sandwich and eating the sandwich, takes the egg out of the sandwich because apparently he's going no carbs, and our boss steals the egg from Venezia.
Leaving him with nothing but bacon, a slice of American melted on a poppy seed bagel. Venezia came in and goes, my breakfast is ruined.
What a loss. Oh, my God. That is such a defeat. And could you imagine being the boss around here just looking for an egg patty? I'm just looking for the egg. That's it. Just a fried egg, nothing else. And taking it off of a sandwich as though that would be a communal. Have you ever heard of that? Like, yes, I guess this is for everybody. I'm just going to take the egg.
To defend the management subject here, where Venezia placed the bag is a former resting spot of where free breakfast would come in during the Boomer and Carton show on WFAN when that existed.
Yeah.
So if you would walk in there and you're used to food being in there from the past, that's where food would lie. So maybe it was just a leftover egg sandwich would be this person thinking.
So Venezia, working the simulcast at watchda.com today, has to deal not only with his egg being stolen out of his sandwich being left, but the fingerprints of one of our bosses all over said sandwich. Would you eat it?
Yeah, fingerprints don't bother
really?
Me. Really? I think most of the people here are clean, and that wouldn't bother me. I see bacon, cheese, and a bagel. I'm still going to eat it. I paid for it.
You see chicken in a keyboard that may or may not be your chicken from the day before. You're still eating it.
I'm eating it, but if you wanted a protein kick, it's shot now.
Let's get to your Target Demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Oh, that is so good. Just imagine your boss coming in. Your sandwich is there. Your boss stealing the egg out of your sandwich. You just have to be sitting there like, oh, you can't say anything about it. By the way, it's time for our O'Reilly Auto Parts question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Just a defeated man, that Venezia. Gunner tweets, DA, if you're the Niners, do you want Jimmy, Kirk Cousins, or a quarterback in the top three of the draft? No, I made my bed with Jimmy Garoppolo if I'm the Niners. And I feel very comfortable about Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I know you have to make him a huge offer and sign him and now pay him. But you don't trade away a second-round pick for Garoppolo, basically only start him for the final couple of weeks of the season, if at all, and then go right back to the draft. I think Jimmy's your guy. It was a good move by the Niners. I would feel comfortable giving Garoppolo good change. I think he's going to be very good in this league. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let's read through what you guys are doing this morning. We start with Jake. D.A., can I get a Bebo? Out here working in Oklahoma, just got done talking to this bum on the side of the tracks named Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
He even turned down the head coaching job at Tennessee. Something about dumpsters just ain't worth jumping into.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
Adam tweets, listening in Wisconsin, going to put the tree up this weekend with my daughter, watching the Badgers take the Buckeyes to the woodshed. Hashtag go Bucky. Hashtag fear the D. Hashtag can I get a beam up? Eric D.A. listening on KNTR 94.3, grinding out the workday, delivering dumpsters, then putting up Christmas lights this weekend. Might try those flaming hot mac and Cheetos from BK. Hashtag boom shagalaga.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Adam in Salt Lake City, listening on the CBS Sports app, getting ready for a busy holiday season at the post office. Lots of long days coming up. At least I have my Jazz and my Vikings to cheer on. Hey, speaking of the Vikings, we're going to be in Minnesota for Super Bowl week, and we're going to be broadcasting for the Mall of America. So if you plan on going to the Super Bowl for Super Bowl week, if you're in the area or plan on traveling there, come see the show and say hello. That'll be a lot of fun because fans can mingle in and out being at the Mall of America. Isaac, the CBS Sports app here in Boise. I'm a letter carrier trying to avoid dogs and annoying people telling me that they don't want their mail because it's only bills. I know it's not Trash Tuesday, but coming from these people, leave me alone. I'm trying to listen to DA.
All right.
Derek in Pittsburgh, listening to Apple Music, almost done working, ready for the weekend, going to do some fishing and watch football. Hashtag rugby style punt. Hashtag fake pass.
I am the epic fail.
Oh, well done. That's a rugby style punt from what I can tell from our vantage point. It's a fake pass. Louise, listening to the Tune In app in Toronto. Family's getting the Christmas tree up while I'm sitting and playing my new PlayStation 4. Can I get a beam up?
All right.
Derek, 640, the sports monster here in Bluff City, Tennessee, watching the dumpster fire lighting the sky from Knoxville. Yeah. Michael, the CBS Sports Radio app, making deliveries on the west side of Michigan on a beautiful Friday. Hashtag, I'm out, bye.
I'm out, bye.
David, 96.5 in Harrisburg, PA, listening, watching, getting in some Madden, listening to CBS Sports before going to work. And let me get a beam up. On Twitter, Matt tweeting, I'm listening on the TuneIn app, football conference championships, Kansas Syracuse hoops this weekend. You had me at Utica Club Light and Genesee Brewery Cream Ale. Hashtag, I don't even have a job.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
You have to make some type of sacrifices in college when you got no money and you still want beer. Robert, watching Ohio State beat Wisconsin, watching the Cavs make their run for the NBA title. DA, can't listen at work, but I know you're all about decorum.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Angie Corrado, tweeting in, enjoying 78-degree weather in Tampa with some lunch at Big Ray's Fish Camp. Hashtag blackened grouper. Ooh.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Mike tweeting in, driving to work, listen to you guys, DA, the DA show, and here my dude, Roddy Jones. Great takes. Keep it up, this guy. Keep it up this morning, guys. Roberts in Pontiac, Michigan, going to watch some NBA and those surprising Pistons. Hashtag, I ain't stole no dog.
What you think about that, DA?
Lucky Whitehead, I ain't stole no dog. I ain't stole no dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
Have I mentioned, I ain't stole no dog.
I ain't stole no dog.
It's a fake punt. It's a fake pass. That's a rugby-style punt. That is your target demo Friday. Jason tweeting in, listing in my truck, 980 or AM 970 in Duluth, Minnesota. I'm feeling the wrath of Cyber Monday today. Can't wait for the Big Ten championship game to watch Brutus sneak into the college football playoff. Hashtag Delivery Guy Nation. Hashtag Go Buckeyes. And Kenny out working to the West Texas oil fields, listening on KSNY AM 1450. Have a great weekend, guys. Love the show. You got it, man.
Rugby style punt.
All right.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls, and that is me being the ultimate procrastinator. Oh, my God, no, not like my dad!
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Every day, I come home from work and go, maybe today's the day that I carve out some time to do some shopping. And then I go, nah. And then I think, there's this sinking pit in my stomach that I'm going to be behind the eight ball. Then I go, eh!
They want you to say grace. The blessing!
But at this point in time, I'm going to do me. At least for the next 15 days. And then I'll start scrambling. God, I hope I'm not turning into my father. Papa Amendo is notorious for procrastination. Notorious. One of the great procrastinators in American history.
Why are you crying?
I told you we put it in too early.
Oh, it's just a little dry. It's fine.
A man that used to shop still does for me and my two siblings and my mom. So a family of five, he had at least four people to shop for, and then others like uncles and aunts and grandparents. A man that would leave that until Christmas Eve night at midnight.
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
At around 9 p.m. would go, I gotta hit the mall.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
9 p.m.? Dad, it's Christmas Eve. Yeah, I got a few things to get. A few things? He's one of those guys that does the blitzkrieg through the mall on the late shopping hours on Christmas Eve.
That thing had 9 lives. She just spent them all. Woo!
Where are you? It's dark out, Dad. Where are you going? Oh, my. You haven't bought a present yet? So, I know that if I start on the 15th, I'm at least 10 days ahead of Papa Amendo.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Joe in Elmira tweets, 1410 WELM in Elmira, New York, at work selling cable and that CBS Sports Network. Eric tweets, and my grandmother in Texas makes egg sandwiches on Texas toast. Oh, yeah.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Sounds amazing. So, this weekend, big college football weekend, obviously. NFL weekend as well. Sunday morning, I'm here for Sunday morning football beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So, be here. Vintage sounds and new vintage pennants, including a Baltimore Colts, which I can't wait to throw up. Also, remember that on Monday we begin the countdown of the 12 days of Christmas. Every day from here on out, we'll have another great moment of the year. Monday begins our first four out. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then Friday, a week from today, is number 12 of the 12 days. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, and Chris Venezia on the simulcast at watchda.com. The mothership disconnects.
Rugby-style punt.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.